Today we continue our series, which we are calling More Than Just a Story. And we're looking at the parables of Christ. And today our text is found in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, and it reads as follows. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh! Go you out to meet him! Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and for you. But go you rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they came to, when they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Let's pray. Father, as we spend a few minutes in your word, we ask that you open our eyes, we make the whole wonder of things out of that law. In Jesus' name we pray that man or woman, boy or girl that knows you not might come to a saving knowledge and profession of Jesus Christ today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our thought for today is simply this. A day late and a dollar short. Those of you who have lived any while, for a while, know that that means somebody who's always a little behind. Never quite where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be there, never quite having it all put together, never having it all quite finished, always just lacking a little. And as I tell you, every time I do one of these parables, I have to go, ouch, ooh, ah! Because my toes are the first ones that get stepped on, because if you would describe me, someone said, you'd be late to your own funeral. A day late and a dollar short. Just missed it by a day. Just wouldn't quite make the purchase. Just a dollar short, but you know, if you don't have it all, no exceptions, no excuses. And what we find today is a parable that Jesus tells. And there are three parables that he tells in this 25th chapter. And this is during the last week of his life. It's one of the last parables he told on Tuesday and Wednesday before he was crucified and died on the cross on Friday. And these are kind of like some of his closing words. And people are asking him, when will be the sign of the second return of Christ? And what Jesus is saying to the Jewish people, the point he was trying to make to them in this story was, is the virgins represent the Jewish nation and their attitude toward being ready for the return of Christ when he comes back again. But even though it was intended for that audience, it still has a few things to say to you and to me. A day late and a dollar short. 10 people. And the number's nothing in the number 10. It doesn't mean anything. They just had 10 people in the story. But they are divided into two groups. There are 5 that are wise and 5 that are foolish, and from appearances, there's nothing about them that's different. They were all described as virgins. They were all waiting for the bridegroom to return from the wedding party. They all had oil lamps. Which meant, why would you need an oil lamp at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? You wouldn't. Most of you that have either A, been married, or B, gone to a wedding, know that most weddings occur 6 o'clock, 6:30 in the evening. And by the time you get done doing all the nuptial knot tying with, you know, you tie a knot with your tongue, you can't untie with your teeth, and then you go and have a reception, well then it's time for the new man and wife, husband and wife, to go off together for their first night of wedded marital bliss. And if you're having a real good time with your friends and your relatives, it's usually dark by the time this thing is done, and like anybody else, well, like me, I don't know how you are, I don't see real well in the dark, as you noticed, you need to turn a light on. Well, there were those who were waiting on the wedding party to come back home. So, from all appearances, there was nothing about them to make one seem any different than the other, but then they made choices. And as I said in Sunday school, we make choices and our choices make us. And this is why the foolish people will be described as a day late and a dollar short. And they miss out on a very exciting moment, and the question is why? Well, it describes them with the adjective wise, and it describes them with the adjective foolish. So, what does it actually mean when someone is considered wise? And what does it mean when someone is considered foolish? Well, a person that is wise is somebody that's marked by deep understanding. It's someone that has keen discernment. It's someone that has a capacity for sound judgment. They have what is known as a level head on their shoulders. It's somebody that's considered prudent. It could be somebody that knows some inside information that you don't know. They have the inside track. It could be somebody that is a synonym, could be considered crafty or shrewd. It could be, in a condescending tone, somebody who's considered insolent or smart aleck or fresh. You know, you're just a smart aleck. You're just a wise so-and-so. But here we're talking about somebody that's characterized by wisdom. They have made good choices, they understand what's happening, and they are ready to embrace what's happening, and they're prepared for whatever's going to come. Now, there's five more people that were standing right next to these, but they were called foolish. And the question is if you looked at them, how could you tell one from the other? Well, by what they did and what they didn't do. Now, the foolish person is defined as a person who's lacked wisdom. There are several characteristics that you can observe in a person that would let you know that they're foolish. One is that they don't seem to have much intelligence. It could be they don't have a whole lot of experience. Sometimes they can be foolish and not even aware of the fact that they are foolish or don't know something. It could be somebody that doesn't know how to keep their mouth closed. They have an inability to be cautious in speaking. I mean, they got the cleanest feet in town because all they do is put one in, take it out, and stick the other one in. They've always got their foot in their mouth because they're always saying they something they shouldn't at the wrong time. Now, God says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So another person that's considered foolish is somebody who deliberately sins against God or denies that there is God. It could be a person who either by ignorance or by deliberate choice follows a lifestyle or commits specific acts that are of a harm to them or society. And that could be a person who's foolish. Somebody who has a drug habit, or somebody who's an alcoholic, or somebody who has an addiction of some kind that rules their life, and they give and sell and buy and steal everything to maintain that habit, and they ruin their health and their life and their marriage and their family and their job. That would be considered a foolish person. So, you know, what are we talking about here? Somebody who, in this case, they thought they were all right. They thought they, quote-unquote, had it going on, but they did not have it going on because they thought that they were going to be ready for the situation that was going to present itself. But, you know, they fooled themselves because they didn't fool anybody else, but they fooled themselves. And so what happens is so how does a marriage ceremony work in this particular time? Well, you have the marriage ceremony, which was phase one, and then you had the marriage supper. And then after that, you come back to your house if you were the husband. You brought your bride home. And so it's dark, it's late, and of course, like most people, when you're sitting up late waiting for something to happen and it's not exciting, or you're with somebody that's not exciting, what do? Well, you do what I do. They tell me sometimes at work, we saw you. Well, you see me, you weren't praying because your head was down and your eyes were closed. And I see that sometimes here in church. I know you're not praying. You're not praying for no 30 minutes. You know, and the drool is the sign that, you know, you're not praying because your mouth's hanging open and praise the Lord. So anyway, they fell asleep. Long day. I don't know about you, but the day I got married, I was up early and stayed up late and I was tired in between. I mean, it was a stressful day. And for those of you who are involved in the wedding party, whether you're the parents of either or, you know, and you got some part in the wedding, it's a very stressful day because I think the bride said she wants it to be perfect. No flaws, no mistakes. Those who bake cakes, they want them to be perfect. Don't want the cake sliding off, you know, and crashing and people sticking their fingers in it and tasting the ice. You want everything perfect because you want the bride and the groom to have a perfect day, because I guarantee you, they might remember. I've run into a lot of people, you ask them about the wedding day, I really can't tell you a thing that happened. What do you mean? Were you, oh yeah, I was there, but I don't remember nothing. I can't remember what it was. Now, that's usually the husband talking, because the wife, she's got it all videotaped in her mind. Well, we came down to the song of, and I had, and my colors were, and my roses, and my bouquet, and, you know, the husband, did that happen? Yes, where were you? Well, I guess I was just there. So, husband bringing wife home. And at midnight, there was a cry. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. And the whole idea was, is their job was to go out and light the way. Take your lamp, go out there, so that the man and his wife can get up to the house without falling or stumbling or anything else happening to them. They were going to let their little light shine. Now, I don't know how many of you are old enough to know anything about oil lamps, but you have to put oil in them. And if you don't have some, you got a problem. And so what happens is it says they trim their wick. And this is kind of like a pole with a little cup on it that has a rag in it, and they kind of lit it, and it burned. And the whole idea is that when it burned down, you put more oil in the little cup so that the little torch could be lit. So, you know, it got dark, and they lit them puppies up, and, you know, they burned down, and the oil burned up, and then the lamps went out, and they went out, and all of a sudden, get up! Midnight coming! Light your lamp! And they got up and they lit their lamps, sort of. Because all of them got up and got out their lighter and they're going, have you got any oil? What? Have you got any oil? Well, I don't have any. What about you? I don't have any. Five of them got there and said, we don't have any oil. And they said to the other five, you guys got any oil? Yeah. We've got some oil. Well, we need some oil. Right. And, well, we were kind of wondering if you could, you know, help a brother out. Well, in this case, help a sister out. Excuse me? Well, we were wondering if you could let us have some of your oil. What? We were wondering if you could share some of your oil. Why? Because we don't have any. And you know what they said? I hate to tell you this, but that's not my problem. What's that supposed to mean? Let me repeat myself. That's not my problem. Don't want to point, I'll just gesture. That's your problem. So you're not going to help me out. Well, here's the bottom line. I have enough oil for my lamp. And that's all I bought. I didn't bring enough oil for your lamp, because last time I checked, when I looked at you, you looked like you were grown. And, you know, if you grown, that means you're responsible. So, if I was responsible to bring my oil, then you ought to be responsible to bring your oil. But the bottom line is I can't take care of us. We didn't come hitched, tied together, joined at the hip. It's literally every virgin for herself. And I've got enough for me, but I don't have enough for you. I am sorry, but you're going to have to go buy some. Buy some. But if I go buy some, I'll miss him when he comes by. Again, I say, I'm sorry, that's not my problem. Sounds to me like you're a day late and a dollar short. So the five asked the five, and the five said, sorry, that's not our problem. We are ready, you are not, so you got to go take care of your business because we've taken care of our business. So the five, they go down to, you know, TSC and look for some oil. And then, you know, they get back, and it was a strange thing, because the wedding party comes, and, you know, they meet them with the torches, and then they're riding away, and the door is open, a lot of fans for Mr. and Mrs. have now returned home to begin their life as a married couple. Da-dum-da-dum-da-da! Bam! Click! The door is shut and locked. And the way it worked was, is once you shut the door at night, that's it! It was like the gates of the city. They'd say, it's time to close the gates! People outside fooling around, first call. The gates are closing! And we still got a few minutes. You know how it is when you got kids. Time to come in! Well, that usually means I got 10 minutes. Get in here now! That means I got 5 minutes. Don't make me come out there and... Oops, I'm in trouble. So, anyway, the door is shut for the night. Everybody in, staying in, everybody out. Yes, we were with the wedding party. We were to be the lighters for the evening. Hello? 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 Is there anybody in there? And the new man of the house comes to the door and he says, "Here he is." Excuse me? I didn't stutter. I said, "Who are you?" Well, we were with the lighting party, and we were supposed to be lighting the way when you came back. And, we had a little problem. I think I heard about it, but let's hear your side of the story. Well, we ran out of oil. You ran out of oil. Have you ever done this before? Oh, yes, we're experienced lighters. Really? Oh, yes, we've done this on more than one occasion. Well, what happened this time? Well, we had a little lapse in judgment. We made a little foolish mistake. We didn't bring enough oil. Well, guess what? See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. Click. That's it. And then he says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." And you're going, "Well, I don't understand." The parable of the 10 virgins is to describe the genuineness of the faith of the nation of Israel. But it also describes the genuineness of our faith because the last statement not only applies to the nation of Israel, it also applies to us. As believers in Christ, we believe that Jesus Christ was born, lived for 33 and a third years, died on the cross for the sins of you and I, was buried in a borrowed tomb on Friday. He was there Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday. Somebody said he got up early in the morning. He rolled the tomb away. They came and looked for the body, and he was not there. And they said they saw him that day, and he was alive, just as he said. And he got up because he won the battle over sin. He got up because he won the battle over Satan. He got up because he won the battle over self. And those are the three enemies that you and I fight. He died to make us right with God. And we believe that the disciples were watching him one day, and it says that he disappeared from their sight in a cloud. And they're all standing there sky watching, and an angel said, "What are you looking at?" The same way he left is the same way he's coming back again. And you and I get up with the hope that maybe today he's coming. And somebody said in a song, "Don't let him catch you with your work undone." Are we the wise? Are we the foolish? Are we prepared for the coming of Christ? Or are we running around doing anything and everything except for what we've been called to do and called to be, and we're thinking that, "Oh, we can make it, it'll be all right." We have the same problem that the five foolish did because they thought that they had time to get ready, but they didn't. When you look at some of the symbols in this story, it says oil is symbolic of the Spirit of God. And the fact is that when they didn't have any oil, they weren't the real deal. They had lamps, but no oil. They were like a cloud that looks like it's going to rain, and nothing happens. You know, it hasn't rained in a week, and it's dry, and your crops need a little something, and you're looking at it and go, "That looks like a rain cloud." There again, nothing. A drop as it goes by. It's a false promise, something that does not happen. So my question is, are you and I faithful? You see, the point of this parable is simply this: being ready. And the fault of the foolish versions is that they had a sort of a lukewarm attitude toward being and doing what God called them to do. Well, you know, we're kind of ready, but not quite. Well, the last time I checked, being kind of ready, but not quite, means that if you aren't ready for Jesus when he comes, you're going to be just like them in the fact that you're going to try to get in, you're going to try to claim association, you're going to try to claim a relationship, and God's going to say, I don't know you. I only came to get those who were looking for me and were ready when I got here. And I know that they belong to me because they were looking for me. And if you and I are not looking for Jesus, but looking around and doing everything else except for, then the Bible says that we were considered foolish because we're not ready to meet God. And you know, it's like saying, you know, people say, you need to get saved. You need to give your life to Christ. I'm young. I'm single. I'm ready to mingle. I got a bag of oats on my side, and I want to go out and cast a few around. I want to live a little, and then after I've got a little experience, then I'll settle in, settle down, and get right with the Lord. You see, if you think that way, you're just like people who have no oil in your lamp. I can fix it at the last minute. Once the moment comes, it comes. And the point simply is this. They didn't know, and we don't know, when Jesus is coming back. But the trick is, why was one wise? Why was one foolish? Wisdom means to be prepared. Because everything depends what happens when we have an encounter with the Lord. It was a moment of great anticipation. They were expecting something to happen. It was a moment of great excitement. They rejoiced when they saw the Lord. It was a moment of great consequence because their destiny was determined by their decision. And it was a moment of great decision because once they made the right one, they would be happy forever. And once they made the wrong one, they had forever to consider the consequences. A day late and a dollar short. Never let it be said of the man or woman, boy or girl of God that in our relationship to God, we would ever be found a day late and a dollar short. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes. Be prepared. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for reminding us not to take what's going to happen in our lives lightly, but to always be constantly vigilant and alert because it could be the greatest blessing we've ever received, an exciting moment that we've looked forward to, something that will bring glory to our lives from now and to all eternity. Father, help us not to be as the foolish who didn't take it to be what it was and therefore lost the opportunity. So, Father, if there's a man or woman, a boy or a girl that knows you not, may they understand plainly and simply what it means to be saved. So, Father, help us all to come to the point where we can make that decision about you and for you and with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.